Herbert Mensah was also the CEO of the Kumasi Asante Kotoko team around that time when the disaster struck. We have called him to share his perspectives on what happened and how it was handled and lessons for the country and sports management in general. Thank you very much for your time, Mr. Herbert Mensah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Right. So what do you remember about May 9, 10 years ago?
Well, for me, I remember the tragedy. I mean, the tragedy of the event. There are lots of issues. I mean, I was just talking to Kwame, Sifukan. He reminded me that when I said that 10 years ago, I remember the rain, you know, the stillness and the rain in the evening. And he said, look, it's raining now. So symbolically, 10 years ago, we're getting the same sort of light drizzle. I remember the tear gas. I remember the problems in the infamous Adikoka stands. I remember officiating that triggered people to start behaving in a way that they shouldn't have. And then after the match, sitting there, again, wondering about Ghana football. And for supporters, I think there were two or three of them from Hearts and from Kotoko, running to where I was sitting and telling me, Chairman, they are dying. People are dying. I don't know the exact words, but something to that effect. Please come. And I thought that the supporters maybe were fighting with security personnel. Maybe there was another or between supporters themselves. So I ran down across the pitch, found access into the stadium, climbed up. I saw people lying around, but I didn't know what it was. And they pointed me to one of the exits. And as I put my head through there, I just saw a tangle of bodies entangled amongst themselves, moans, screams. Some of the bodies had fallen down the side of the stairwell, because there was a gap between the stairwell and the banister and the railing. Some had fallen down to their deaths at the bottom. And the smell, the sound. I then ran up the steps around to the back to open, to see why they were not going out of the back, to realize the gate was locked. I came back up running again, looking for security personnel, looking for anybody. There was nobody. And then went down. I saw a number of people I knew. I saw Kojo Chumbuafu crying, sitting almost lifeless. And then went to pick up the first body and started shouting to everybody, Kojo included everybody, that look, we have to do something. Everybody get involved. And we started carrying the bodies one by one that we could, up the steps, across, all the way down, laying it down, coming up. And what each individual did was what God gave them strength to do. Calling through to national security. And I was wishing that my old friend was still in charge, Group Captain Fojo, because I knew that I had this picture that at least with a disaster of this nature, that the 64th, as we knew them, should have come in, should have landed, you know, their special deployment unit, and would have got Aripo, as we call them. They were great men of those days, the Colonel Paddingtons. I mean, General Druce was around there. Colonel Bleville Latte was around in those days. And I know that this disaster, the extent of it, perhaps could have been minimized a little bit, but that's another story completely.
So what you're saying is that it could have been worse. People did not do the little that they had to do on that day to ameliorate the situation.
Well, I think that what I found saddest when I reflect, and as critical as I am, as you know, mostly, is before, quite often, we play these hardcore matches, there would be meetings at Blue Gate. And there used to be an extraordinary, no-nonsense gentleman there who I have a lot of respect for. I don't know where he is now. I wish somebody could tell me. Called Alhaji Usman. And Alhaji Usman was our point of contact, where we know that occasionally he'll call me in and say, look, Chairman, what you have been doing, we don't like this and that. You know, he's very clear in his approach. And we would know at the same time there would be various forms of national security apparatus being deployed depending on anticipated crowds, anticipated problems, the intensity of the match, which would include from BNI to special clothes to police to military to, if necessary, 64. But he had been removed. You know, we'd had a change of government, so he had been removed. And certainly I was not consulted by anybody. And I think the lack of somebody of that standing, that stature, certainly was not in place that day. And I know that since that time, there's been a committee of which I have to have full respect for the eminent people who were on the committee. I only sometimes wonder about those behind the scenes who gave the authority or lack of it in terms of training of the personnel and so on and so forth. But as Harry has said, in many ways, you have to let sleeping dogs lie. In that regard, we have to look forward. There's been another stadium disaster, I believe. I was not involved, so I've kept away from it. But for 10 years, I've made sure that every year I visit the families, which I can, especially up in Kumasi, and hold events myself with a few media and journalists. Have been committed to it, which is why since Thursday I've been up in Kumasi visiting the families, going to the central mosque to speak and have special prayers with the regional chief imam, who was my spiritual guidance when I was in Kotoko, with the families. It was Otumfo's birthday, so he had some words as well. On the Friday I went to visit him and spend some time with him. On Saturday we had a route march in Kumasi, like what we did in Accra 2 years ago, which was very good because corporate Ghana joined us this year. And then yesterday we had church prayers with Otumfo at St. Cyprian's. It was his birthday, but some of us involved took the opportunity to also go and have a few prayers in church.
So how are the families doing, those that you are in touch with especially?
The ones that we are in touch, my brother, it's extraordinary to see. I mean, here one of the ladies, for example, I remember when I visited her at the time of the death, she was pregnant with her third or fourth child, and you could see the hopelessness. And when I saw her on Saturday, when we finished the walk on Saturday, and to see this 10-year-old daughter of hers who was born after midnight, born on July the 1st, it was incredible. The other children, her eldest son, who is now 20, so he was 10 at the time, who is in college, second daughter who is 13, and the other families as well. I mean, there's one lovely lady who I took a picture with. I will push all those pictures to the media today, who is a Hearts of Oak supporter. Her father is Kotoko, you know. They lost father and brother in this horrible tragedy. And we've watched them, especially in Kumasi. We've watched them grow up year in, year out. Some of them have come to terms with it. Some of them, like some of the pictures we released, some of the mothers still just break down. And we try and provide support, because we shouldn't forget that the government only gives, I think it is 1 million CDs, 100 CDs. Let me see, I'm used to old Ghana money, not Kufuor money. 100 CDs a year per child, which is not enough to educate a child. And the amount of money that was raised was massive. I mean, I know Kobla Dumas people raised hundreds of thousands of new Ghana CDs, and others, and corporate Ghana came to the party, notwithstanding what government itself should have done. So for them to be receiving that still today is inadequate. So when some of us have got involved, as we did this year, again, yet again, it's a small amount, a lot more than government, but it's a small amount that helps. And this year, we've been very lucky because corporate Ghana joined us. And I have to give, you know, that special thanks to companies like Printex, who gave Fruteli and Calipo huge quantities, and not small amounts, and support, and assisted with financial support. Gasem came to the party this year. DHL have a wonderful regional director with such humanity in Pramod Bagawaldi. They came to the party. The great man, Haisam from Interplast, they came to the party. Golden Tulip put us up. That's Alaji Hats and myself. I always do it with Alaji Hats, who's a big brother. I respect and love him so much and his humanity so much for what he does. My dear old adversary and friend, Kwesi Nyantechi, I appealed to him, and he came directly to the party. He was not here. He was in Nigeria, but he came to the party and helped. One Kwabena Achampo provided soap and products. So corporate Ghana really came. And I mean, if I've forgotten somebody at this point, I apologize. I will certainly write it up because I respect that need for corporate Ghana to get involved in social activities like sports, etc., etc. And it was something special.
I see. Now, you talked about the fund that was established and the support that these families get. You seem to know how the fund was managed. Do you? Can you just give us maybe more information on how it was managed and how beneficiaries access the funds, if you know?
Well, I don't know too much detail, but what I do know is that a lot more was put in than was done. I believe, for example, Joy FM handed over 300,000 new Ghana cedis to, and please, Mr. Jacob Echebelamte, if I got it wrong, then I apologize, but I understand it was handed over to you and to J.H. Mensah. And I know, having been every year 10 years doing this with members of the media who followed us, that there has not been the commensurate value pushed back to the families. We shouldn't forget that the stadium disaster in Ghana is the worst in the world. It's not like the worst in Africa. My brothers in South Africa, Ivan Kwoza from Pirates is a good friend, Kaiser Motang from Chiefs. You can see what they do every year, what the government and the sports bodies are doing quietly behind the scenes every year. And that fund that was set up during the last regime certainly has not lit the road, lit the fire to provide for the families. I mean, even this morning, some Accra families have come to us, and I said, listen, I understand government is trying to do something, so you go to stadium and see what bag of goodies they have for you. We can't take care of everybody. But certainly the fund, which should have been an initiator, maybe the basis of a foundation, to show not only the families, but to show the rest of the world that we as global beings exact the same high standards that they do in the rest of the world, sadly, over the last 10 years, has failed to do that.
I see. Thank you very much. But for the record, we are told it's actually the third in the world, the West.
Oh, the third.
In the world, yes, and first in Africa. I mean, the West in Africa.
I stand corrected.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, Mr. Herbert Mensah. We are grateful for
Thank
your
you.
Time. He is a businessman, was the CEO of Kumasi Asante Kotoko at the time that it happened. Also, we have Mr. E.T. Mensah, who he